Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here is what Salt Lake's talking about. America First Field, home to our Major League men's and women's soccer teams, is under fire. Is it warranted? Plus, traction laws in the Cottonwood Canyons get a much-needed boost. Will it pan out? Executive producer Emily Means is here to help break down this week's news. It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Emily Means, do you want some breaking news?
Yeah, you bet, Allie Vallarta.
This is silly, but the Mill Creek Common Climbing Wall is finally open.
That is kind of silly, but, you know, for Salt Lake climbers, for Mill Creek climbers, I bet they're really excited.
Don't you feel like they have been building that thing for a generation?
Yes, and I have to be honest, I did not know it was a climbing wall. I saw Mill Creek Commons before they put, like, the rocks?
Yeah, the little nubbins.
Yeah, and I was like, huh, that's an interesting architectural decision. But this makes much more sense.
New city, new styles. Mill Creek, of course, to the south of us, is a somewhat brand new city, and they've been trying to figure out how to generate revenue for the city and build a new kind of city center. And Mill Creek Common is the name for their very cool, it's basically going to be the home to the city offices, but then it's also got like an ice skating rink, which incidentally has closed for the season. Roller skating opens April 1st. But it's honestly like, it's awesome. It's a super cool thing. It's like their Gallivan Plaza, but it has, I would argue, more going on.
Yeah. Well, and I also love that the climbing wall is on City Hall. So I wonder if you can like climb up and wave to Mayor Jeff Silvestrini like from his office there.
They're like, to submit public comment, visit this website or climb to floor 9 of the city building and slide it through the crack in the window.
That's where you'll find the planning department.
Okay, let's move into the news of the week. I think we start here with the America First Field controversy. All right, so a little background. The Utah Royals women's professional soccer team have played two other teams so far in their season. This is the return of royalty, their triumphant return to the state of Utah, their homecoming year. And their home opener was against the Chicago Red Stars. And then their second opponent was the North Carolina Courage. And two for two, supporter groups from both of these opposing teams have released statements saying similar thing, which is, we hate your jersey sponsor, America First Credit Union, and we hate their logo, and we hate that they're also the stadium sponsor, that it's America First Field. And quick catch up, it's no longer Rio Tinto. For years and years and years, that stadium was Rio Tinto. We called it Rio Tinto. It is now America First Field. And actually, like when America First Credit Union was first announced as the field sponsor, I was kind of stoked because I was like, credit unions are better than banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so hot on credit unions, Sally.
They're like nonprofit banks, and that makes them better. But boy, we all learned a lot this week.
And the controversy, of course, is that this phrase, America First, these supporter groups are saying, is rooted in racism, fascism, and hateful ideology. And, you know, they have this caveat that, yes, we support the Utah Royals and the players and their fans, but, like, we can't let this slide by if we're going to be playing on this field.
Right. We want these women to be well funded. We love that there are sponsors for these teams, as there should be. They are excellent professional teams. But we hate that these women have to run around in these jerseys that say America First on them, specifically for women of color, specifically for international players. And it just feels ick. And so I think we should hear them out on this and talk about why this is the case. Because, listen, this is the United States of America. You could find anything in this country has a history rooted in racist ideology and propaganda. Like,
yeah,
that's how we built this, right? Like, this is very much who we are.
Hello, master plans, you know, like.
Right. The call is coming from inside the house, as it often is. But one of the things that was so interesting to me about the release of these statements, of course, is the backlash. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the language that was being used in response to, you know, this idea being elevated that, hey, maybe we should reconsider America First. People were kind of acting like it was the first time they've ever heard about this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an unfair approach, because if you just do a quick Google of America First, it is story after story after story from 2016, right?
Uh-huh.
NPR, America First, invoked by Trump, has a complicated history. The Atlantic, a short history of America First, the phrase used by President Trump, has been linked to anti-Semitism during World War II. Like, we've actually been having this conversation nationally for years and years and years. So for our governor, for some state leaders to be like, is this satire? Are you kidding me? No, guys. Like, where have you been?
Right. And Governor Spencer Cox specifically, Mr. Disagree Better over here, he says, just when you think this website can't get any more ridiculous, I had to double check if this was a parody account. So, of course, this is how it became news. That's why we're talking about it. But Ali, I have to be honest. I bank with America First Credit Union. And
how fun. You have skin in the game.
I have skin in the game. I think that's where my parents opened my very first banking account or something like that decades ago.
Yeah, so you can't close it because now it's your oldest account on your credit report.
Right. But I have to be honest, I also did not think about the context of America First Credit Union until these supporter groups mention it in the context of playing the Royals. So I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I'm plugged into the news. I was around for the 2016 election, but it just didn't cross my mind that this could potentially be problematic. And, you know, maybe we chalk that up to white privilege. But I don't know. Why do you think it hasn't really been something that we've considered until now?
Well, I think, I mean, and I should just say, like, some of this NPR story, the Atlantic story, I'll put the links to those in the show notes if you want to do a little bit more reading. The short version of this backstory is that America First was an American exceptionalist movement that was founded around World War II. And it was basically a committee of people that said, we should not get involved in the war in Europe. And ever since then, the term has been used to refer to American exceptionalism, the idea that, like, you know, we don't need to involve ourselves in international conflicts, no matter how we may be. And it's also kind of been co-opted by the right wing. Like, there's a right wing commentator named Nicholas Fuentes who hosts this live stream show called America First, where he often refers to, like, how people who are not Christian should be given the death penalty. I mean, this is like the think tank to purport the former President Trump's policy agenda is called America First. Like, this is language that has really been, you know, it does have a more than 100-year legacy. That said, to answer your question, Emily, I kind of think that, like, in terms of, I mean, if we think about the two teams that raised this issue, they're from Chicago and North Carolina. These are places that are really reckoning with race and this country's legacy a lot more than us in Utah. And I think that's a credit to them. And so, yeah, am I surprised that our governor and some Utahns feel like this came out of left field? No, not really. Like, in terms of the way that we talk about race and anti-Semitism and the way that this nation is undergoing a reckoning, I would say Utah is like a couple steps behind a lot of other parts of the country by virtue of a number of things. Some people might point to our state's lack of diversity. I actually don't think that's necessarily a fair assessment. Like, there are a lot of minority communities that live here and have a strong presence. But I think we just act like that's not the case. Like, there's this dominant culture and we all just kind of deal with it and we don't have those conversations.
I also think maybe as Utahns, we might find it impolite to point this out. Like, when we're having, when we're trying to have a good time around sports and, you know, rally for our teams. I will say that for America First Credit Union's part, they did respond to this messaging from the supporter groups. And, you know, what they say is, well, our name and our history, they're rooted in our credit union's connection to the United States government. They were originally formed to serve civilians at Fort Douglas. So they have military connections. And then the first comes from never losing sight of our founding principle of people helping people. So that's kind of how they're posing this. But Allie, like you said, there is a rich history of this phrase and even more so in the past few years. So, like, at what point do you say maybe this hasn't aged very well and we need to rebrand?
Yeah. I have to tell you, Emily, I also read that statement that America First Credit Union gave the Salt Lake Tribune in response to all of this. And I kind of think in some ways it makes it worse for me, because America First Credit Union is saying here that they've had multiple name changes. They didn't become America First until 1984. Based on everything we know about this slogan, like, by 1984, America First was well embedded in the American psyche. So how was there no, I don't know, oppo at the time? Like, there's a process for naming things, right? Like, you research the words. And that's 1984. By 1992, you have David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the KKK, running for president using the slogan America First. So regardless of all this, like, it is a conversation worth having now.
And do you know what else this shows, though, is that they could be willing to change their name, as they have done throughout their history.
And it would be so, I don't want to say noble, because I actually think it's kind of just the bare minimum to have, if you're going to have a 100-year-old brand, like, it is the bare minimum to just kind of keep up with the times. Like, every other brand has to fight for relevance every year. So should you. Like, that is capitalism. That's the name of the game. I mean, I guess, like, I got to say, like, as much as I also want to be like, I love anyone that sponsors women athletes, I like a credit union model more than a bank, like, you know, whatever, I don't necessarily want to have this fight. I kind of think they're right. I think the Stars and the Courage fans are right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe they could become Women First Credit Union and that would really show that. They'd really stick it to the haters that way.
I don't know. I mean, they could definitely come up with something. But what I can say for the Royals is that their goalie is so good. And they won on Friday.
Yeah. And you know what, Allie? I guess to put a point on this, it would be a shame if this detracted from the Royals' return to Utah, you know, in this first season back. And so, I don't know, maybe America First should just take the L so that the team can take the dub and, you know, continue on with business.
I suppose, but a wise woman once said, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about at all. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Okay, Emily, we had another tale of timing in the news this week, which is March 25th at 5:30 a.m., the Salt Lake Tribune publishes a story about whether Utah's traction laws, or I guess they're more just kind of rules, are being enforced in the Cottonwood Canyons so that cars aren't sliding around because they don't have the right tires or the right chains to stand up against the snow. And then later that day at 1:28 p.m., the Salt Lake Tribune published a headline that was like, well, the canyon's closed and a bunch of people are stuck up there because people aren't following the traction laws.
They couldn't have planned it better. I love when we can further prove a point. Like, let's put a bow on this. I love this story.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. I will say, reading this, I was like, okay, is UDOT enforcing the law? What is the law? And is it a law? And what does enforcing it look like?
Yeah, so not really a law, but more of a rule, like you said. The Utah Department of Transportation adopted this rule in 2018 to, like, specifically require chains and snow tires, like a specific kind of snow tire, depending on whether you have rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive or whatever. And the point is that Unified Police Department is supposed to be enforcing this rule up the Cottonwood Canyons, because that's the police department that has jurisdiction up the Cottonwood Canyons. And they're not, because they have about five officers available to patrol the Cottonwoods at any given time. And they are not willing to put people at the bottom of the canyon and check people's cars because they just do not have the capacity for that.
There is a thing where you can, like, self-regulate and get a sticker on your car that basically says, I'm following the rule. But without much enforcement, I mean, who's going to do that?
Right.
A few good Samaritans.
Maybe. But, like, what's the point? It's just like a pat on the back for yourself or something. Mm-hmm. In the end, like, does it impact how many cars are sliding around the canyon? And the answer is no, cars are still sliding around the canyon, as was demonstrated by this story.
Right. But
the legislature threw some more money at this problem this session to kind of beef up enforcement. I guess it remains to be seen whether or not that will help, whether or not UPD is willing to station more officers there to be checking cars. I don't know. In the meantime, cars are just slip sliding away.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with cars sliding around the canyon is, yes, sliding around the canyon is bad for the car. Like, it was, I think the story said two cars rolled on Monday.
Oh my God.
And everyone involved was okay, but still, rolling is terrifying. The other thing about being the car that slides out is that it is absolutely humiliating. Like, because what you are doing, which is in some ways the bigger problem and the most aggravating, is that you are stopping traffic.
Yes.
In a two-lane road, when you slide out, you are blocking one, if not both, lanes. And the line of people behind you wishing you the absolute worst as you get out of your car and start to push it, I don't think I would ever recover from that.
Right. And we know that ski traffic is already so, so bad up those canyons.
Oh, and everyone's already kind of moody coming down because they just know it's going to be bad and they're bracing.
Allie, I'm wondering how much of a motivator shame is for you on this issue. You're from Florida. I don't know if you had ever driven in snow prior to this. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, yeah. I lived in Vermont for like four or five years.
That's right. That's
and actually, right. There was a period in time where I had chains on my car because I worked at this tiny local radio station called Farm Fresh Radio when I was in college. And my job was to screen all the CDs that came in and decide which ones could be good for airplay. And so I had to get over this gap to get to work, mm-hmm. which was literally on a cow farm. And
Vermont's crazy, man.
I had studs on my car. And whoa. I have never felt so powerful as yeah. when I had studded tires. Holy crap. It was like driving a tractor.
Yeah.
But they were also, I mean, and this was in what, 2014? They were $600.
So what's your approach now? I mean, I know you don't ski, but like maybe you're heading up the canyons to recreate otherwise. Do you have chains or
none
snow
of the
tires?
Above. None I of stay it? Out of this. This is none of my business. I don't ski. I went the only time this season that I went up the canyons was part of my drinking at every bar in Salt Lake County. I had to go to all the ski resort bars. So I went up there and someone else drove. I got to tell you, Emily, like, and I wonder how you feel when you read these stories related to winter traffic in the Cottonwoods and you see the photos of the snow and the snake of traffic. And I'm just like, how fun is skiing?
Is it worth it?
It must be just really absolutely incredible to be worth all of this.
Like,
from a woman who refuses to go to Costco on a Saturday, like, you really think I'm going to get in my car at 4 a.m. to beat the traffic to go up there and ski? No.
Right. That's so funny, Allie. Listen, I can't speak to that. I have never skied. And at this point, I don't plan on changing that. But what I will tell you is I used to work up in Park City. Different canyon, right? You go up Parley's Canyon. Mm-hmm. But it was
can also
terrifying
be
even then. Also treacherous. And, you know, cars sliding all over the place when a big snowstorm hits. But interestingly, you needed snow tires or chains just to get into downtown Park City. Like, there were signs flashing. You are not allowed on Main Street unless you have this traction support on your car. And I don't know how well they enforce that either.
Right.
It's probably Park City police who would have to enforce that. Mm-hmm. But they were serious. And it scared me enough that I did put snow tires on my car just so I could get into work.
But the problem is the flashing sign, it seems like, is really all they've got in the canyons,
right,
too. And that's what people are saying, are like, is a flashing sign? I mean, look at the other issues with skiing. People crossing on a private property despite a sign being posted. People triggering avalanches because they want to get in powder that they really shouldn't be in. Like, I don't know. Nothing about the ethos of, like, backcountry skiing says, like, oh, this flashing sign, okay, fine.
Right. To be fair, I'm a rule follower to my core.
Right.
So
Yeah.
I'm a square. But what I am wondering, Allie, is does this story just make the case for the gondola?
No.
What? You don't think so? Shouldn't
no.
we get cars off the road?
Yeah, but the gondola won't necessarily do that. It only is going to carry so many people. There's still going to be buses. Like,
true.
I think one of the biggest arguments against the gondola is that people don't necessarily feel confident that it is going to de-incentivize people driving up the canyon.
Because
you still have to drive to the parking lot. You still have to park. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it
yeah.
seems like it'll be just as frustrating as taking the ski bus might be. And yet here we are. We've got a ski bus. Granted, it's not exceptional right now, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if people who are pro-gondola use this as an argument for the gondola.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for me, I'm just never going to be pro-gondola because I don't like public to private taxpayer investments. That's why you find me skeptical on things like the Olympics and publicly funded stadiums and whatever. Like, in line with that thinking, like, I don't want to pay for a public transportation solution that delivers people to the doorstep of a private corporation and makes more money for that corporation. I don't know. Do you think that, Emily? Are you turning to be gondola?
Listen, because I'm not a skier, I feel like I don't have any skin in this game, right?
Yeah.
Although I am on the same page as you, raising an eyebrow at these public investments into private functions. But I did appreciate this quote from the Unified Police Department officer in the Tribune story, which is, "The only thing that's gonna fix it is if we had parking garages and a shuttle service and the public cannot drive up the canyon." So
yeah.
I think that that's a sign that maybe we should further invest in the ski bus and just shut it down. Let's close this canyon to single cars.
Yeah, at least in the winter.
For sure.
To close, I have to tell you, the thing that really kind of took me out about these two stories was in the story about the crashes on Monday and the closing of Little Cottonwood. They were talking about the UPD, the Unified Police Department spokesperson. And according to the Unified Police Department UPD spokesperson, officers who were responding to the rolled vehicles said that their vehicles were sliding as they tried to make their way to the crashes. And I just was like, so wait, do the officers' cars have chains?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
practice what you
preach. Why are they sliding? They should absolutely have a snow tire on.
Maybe they should have like a police ski bus or something like that. Maybe that's the solution to keep these cars out of the canyon.
Yeah, it's like Coast Guard.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay. Should we do some shout-outs and get out of here? Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. My shout-out is to an organization called Students United for Reproductive Freedom at the University of Utah. And the reason I am shouting them out is because I recently learned that they have established a Plan B vending machine in the basement of the student union.
Really?
Yes. So for anyone who doesn't know, Plan B is a pill that you can take within 3 days of having unprotected sex, whether that's like the condom broke or the sex was non-consensual, whatever happened. It reduces your chances of getting pregnant by like 80%. It's often called the morning after pill. And so this Plan B vending machine in the basement of the student union, you just scan your U card at it. It's completely free and you can get up to 3 pills a week.
That's crazy, Allie.
To me, like, this is kind of vigilante. I don't think it should be. Like, I do think we should all just have access to healthcare all the freaking time. Like, if we're going to be, you know, the incredible community we say we are. But I just am like, that is creative. And the fact that these students are finding community partners, are pulling together this kind of operation. College campuses are just where ideas are born. It's always been the case. It's what makes them so incredible. And it's what makes living in a college town, I think, so rewarding. But like, hello, Salt Lake County. Hello, Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see these in every county and city library.
Yeah.
I would love to see this level of creativity and gumption from our county health department and from our city officials. I'm getting bored with the thoughts and prayers approach to the Utah legislature and like national lawmaking. This is a footprint. So shout out to the University of Utah students that did this.
Visionary. Yeah, I
visionary.
Love that. I do worry that the legislature will legislate this out of existence, but...
You gotta try.
Yeah.
You just gotta try. What you got, Emily?
I would like to shout out Crossroads Urban Center and their food pantries. So this is actually a little help your neighbor opportunity. Crossroads is a community nonprofit that supports low-income Salt Lakers. And they have two food pantries, one downtown, one on the west side. And Allie, you always mention this statistic that kind of blows my mind, and it is that 1 in 10 Salt Lake households are food insecure, and that is a policy failure.
Yep.
But Crossroads Urban Center this week put a call out for donation needs for their food pantry, and they are looking for mac and cheese and pasta and rice. These are some of their biggest needs at the food pantry right now. They accept donations between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. So I will put that information in our show description for you if you want to help out.
I love that. I love that. We did a write-up in the newsletter about like cheap kids' birthday party ideas. Mm-hmm. And one of the tips that our guest Shereen Gourbani gave was like no gifts. Like, don't bring gifts for kids. If you want, make it, like, a little bit of a fundraising opportunity or something. I just feel like if you're hosting, like, a party or whatever this spring, you could just ask everyone to bring some rice.
I love that. That's a great idea.
It would still be cheaper than a gift.
You're right.
Thank you, Emily. That's a great shout out. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ellie. Have a great day.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. If you like this show, if you like getting information from this show, if you just like listening to us make silly jokes about the news, you should become a CityCast Salt Lake member. It is the best way to sustain our work, and you will also join a group of like-minded people in this city. You might make a friend. You can get more information at membership.citycast.fm, and thank you very much for even thinking about it. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.